Life can feel overwhelming, but you don't have to go through it alone. On my podcast, From the Heart with Rachel Braithen, I share openly and vulnerably about everything life brings us and what we can learn by living with our hearts a little bit more open. Every Friday, a new episode brings you a new story with topics on self-care, motherhood, healing, and more. You are enough, just the way you are. This podcast is a reminder of that. Follow and listen to From the Heart with Rachel Braithen wherever you get your podcasts.
For more Florida Panthers NHL draft coverage on the home of the Panthers, AM 560 Sports WQAM, FM 99.9 HD2, and streaming on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back. NHL draft coverage continuing right here on 560 Sports WQAM. Doug Plagans, Red Deer Randy Moeller here with you. We welcome you in this evening, and we thank you very much for being on board with us. You can tweet us, of course, at Doug Plagans and at Hey Red Deer during the broadcast. Maybe we'll give you a little bit of a shout-out here as we cruise along. We've got some exciting guests coming up later on. George Richards from Florida Hockey Now. We've got Sean Rourke from NHL.com lined up. We'll hear from them. We'll talk about the Panthers' schedule. We'll talk about this draft. Lots to get to. Cats fans, stay on top of all things Panthers. Check out the latest episode of Territory Talk with me and Jameson Olivan. Get exclusive interviews and articles about the team. See the newest episodes at floridapanthers.com/territorytalk. Well, I mentioned Jameson Olive, so why don't we bring on Jameson Olive, joining us from the Bell Center in Montreal, where Jameson, I'd imagine, the place has just about been turned upside down, this first three that we've seen in the draft. Not the first three that I think a lot of people saw coming. What's the feeling there inside Bell Center?
Yeah, I'm coming to you from a stairwell inside the Bell Center because it's the only place I could find that was quiet. Because like you said, it's at the Bell Center. The Habs had the first round pick. It's been loud for every pick so far. So it's a madhouse here, but it's fun. It's great to be back at the draft, back to having an in-person draft. The energy's crazy. The floor is crazy. It's just chaos here in the best kind of way. But you talk about the first few picks, that is just really surprising. I mean, Slafkovský first overall, that's not too surprising. It looked like towards the last couple days here leading up to the draft that there was kind of a back and forth between him and Shane Wright as to who would go number one. But if you watched the Olympics, you watched him play at the World Championships internationally against grown men, you knew Slafkovský was going to be a good pick. He's huge at 6'4". He's really proven himself against grown men already, just 18 years old. So I like that pick a lot, actually, for the Habs. But the fact that here we are now heading into pick four and Shane Wright's still on the board, that's what's incredible to me. Just because he was pretty much the consensus number one overall for the entire year. It's a guy that people have been pegged to go first overall for the past several years. So for him to be falling into the Kraken's lap here at number four overall potentially, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, and Jameson, you just touched on it a little bit. Isn't it great? All we've heard over the last couple of days is, well, number one, Montreal is one of the most beautiful and energetic city in the world. But to get back there and to be at the draft, and for guys like yourself that does a wonderful, incredible work of covering the Florida Panthers, to be able to do that in that environment has got to be something special for you to get back there.
Oh, it really is. And just getting to see all the people we haven't seen in a long time, whether that's reporters, team personnel. I've run into a lot of people I haven't seen in a couple of years. So from the media side, it's great to connect with people and rub elbows and all that stuff. But it's just great to see GMs also back in the same spot. Just watching the action on the floor from, Bill Zito, looking at his phone or, talking to another guy at a table over. To see those little interactions and to see what they lead to is always so fun. And I know we always, go crazy with it. Someone will tweet out, Bill Zito's talking to this guy or talking to that guy. And half the time, they're probably talking about nothing. Sometimes they might be talking about a deal. You never know. But just to get all, the hockey world in one place, Randy, it's just so special to get everyone in one room like this. It only happens once a year. I mean, the All-Star game, things like that, don't compare to the draft when it comes to this communal feeling.
A lot of the buzz around the hockey world, there were just people who couldn't wait to see Jameson Olive live and in person, and now they're getting the opportunity to do so up there at the Bell Center in Montreal. Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com, is here with us. And Jameson, have you gotten a sense, talking to people? I know Bill Zito talked about a little bit on his availability yesterday. We had the soundbite in our last segment. But leading up to this draft, and you and I talked to Chris Peters, a draft expert on Territory Talk last week, this was a draft that had some curveballs to it, and it was a little bit different to prepare for because so many of these players have lost some key development time. Have you gotten that sense that that was an obstacle that a lot of teams had to deal with approaching this draft?
I wouldn't say an obstacle as much as it's an opportunity for some teams that really do their due diligence on some of these guys that maybe been overlooked or just not looked at the same way had they would have, you know, played the years they missed during COVID or played more games. So I think it's an opportunity, especially for a team like the Panthers that don't have a first or second round pick, but they do have 6 picks overall. They got some mid picks. They got some late picks, 2 in the 6th, you know, within 3 picks of each other. So whether they package some of those to move up a little bit in this draft or maybe get some future assets, we'll see. But just the fact that you look at the guys they could find in those later rounds, there's potentially some diamonds in the rough. And the Panthers have done a great job here recently. You and I talk all the time about guys like Justin Sortif, a third round pick 2 years ago, Mike Benning, a fourth round pick 2 years ago. You can look at, you know, Braden Hachet, a seventh round pick last year. I really like what we've seen from him so far in 1 year of development. So this is scouting staff under Bill Zito that's shown they have that ability to find those late round gems. And of course, time will tell on all these guys, but you know, as far as year over year progression, the Panthers have done a great job under Bill Zito finding those mid to late round picks, and that's what they're going to have to do again here this year.
And Jameson, I thought it was real key what Bill Zito said in the one sound clip that we aired, that the core of this hockey club that won the President's Trophy, that it could afford them a little bit more time to develop these players and not rush them and let them develop at their own pace. And with the Panthers, with, you know, the 122 points and the President's Trophy, they're not a team that's going to rush a lot of these draft picks. And maybe touch on a little bit about the development camp and what that means for not only the team, but for these young players.
Yeah, going on the first question there, I mean, you look at a guy like Anton Lindell, who shined this season as Florida's third-line center. They gave him time to come over. They didn't rush him over. He came over. He went right into a good spot on that third line with guys like Mason Marchment, Sam Reinhart, good guys on both his wings. But you rewind maybe 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago on the Panthers, he might be coming over and being the top-line center right out of the gate, kind of rushed into things. So even for guys at the NHL level, they're all being put in great positions right now because the Panthers finally have that depth to put guys where they belong in terms of, you know, what's best for their development. So that's great. But you mentioned D-camp. I mean, the Panthers haven't had a D-camp since COVID, so this is going to be great to get some guys down. Yes, they had a rookie camp last year, but it's so much different from D-camp. D-camp's when you get the college guys in, you know, the recent draftees, the new guys that come to South Florida, many of them for the first time, and they really get to live the NHL life for a week for the first time. They're around NHL trainers. They're around NHL coaches. They do cooking classes. They just learn how to be adults. So that's kind of part of it. So in the past, you know, Brian McCabe here with the Panthers, who's a part of the organization's player development, he kind of talks about that camp. It's not really a hockey camp. It's not really for hockey development. It's more for life development. It's for showing these kids, you know, giving them a little taste of NHL life, showing them how to cook, how to take care of yourself, how to be adults. They do some community service work as well. They learn how to start giving back, which, of course, hockey players all do a lot of throughout their careers. So for D-camp, just to get all the young guys in the same place, and some of those guys, some of those bonds we see form at D-camp. I mean, you look at guys like Barkov and Huberto, they were at D-camps together in the past. So it's just probably my favorite week of the year is D-camp, honestly. I just love seeing so many kids getting their first taste of life in the NHL.
Jameson Olive, FloridaPanthers.com here with us. You're in that stairwell. So Shane Wright is a Seattle Kraken. We've got that for you. Also, the folks at SiriusXM NHL Network Radio reporting 2 trades. The Montreal Canadiens are busy. The first trade is that the Canadiens got the 13th overall pick from the Islanders. To the Islanders went defenseman Alex Romanov and the 98th pick in this draft. The next trade that Montreal made maybe shows us why they didn't go the center route with their first overall pick, why they went with Yuri Slavkovsky, because the Canadiens then traded the 13th overall pick, which they got from the Islanders, and the 66th pick to the Blackhawks, who have the teardown in full force. Kirby Dach is going to the Montreal Canadiens.
Wow.
So the Montreal Canadiens in their home building are busy. Jameson, we've seen Atlantic Division teams in that bottom tier of the division busy with Ottawa getting DeBrincat. Now the Canadiens making a couple of deals with not only adding the top pick, but now Kirby Dach to the fold. What do you make of all of it with the instant reaction here, Jameson?
I don't understand that trade for the Islanders. I guess they value Romanov a bit more than I do in terms of, you know, potential, you know, defenseman to fit that course. That one's a little bit of a head-scratcher, but you got to love what the Canadians are doing, you know, kind of speeding up the rebuild here a little bit. But they're doing it in a smart way. You look at Kirby Dach, that's a young guy, as a first-round pick only a couple of years ago. I liked how he looked when he played against the Panthers the couple times we saw him. Obviously, you know, like you said, the Blackhawks kind of really don't know what they're doing right now. They're kind of doing a teardown, but last year they were kind of going for it, signing a guy like Seth Jones to a long-term deal. So they're kind of in limbo right now, I'd say. But love what the Canadians are doing, you know, in front of the home crowd, kind of, you know, showing the crowd, you know, hey, this is going to be the future of the franchise right here. We're doing it all today, and this is what you guys are going to see for the next couple of years. So that's just putting on a show for the home crowd. You love to see that. But, you know, overall, just love that. We talk about draft day. I just love all these moves. I love that all this is happening right now. And, of course, we have free agency coming up on Wednesday. That's going to be another crazy day. But for the Atlantic Division, man, now that the Habs are loading up, of course, like you said, the Senators getting Alex DeBrincat, that's a huge move. They're a lot better team now this year. The Red Wings, of course, are going to take another step forward. The Sabres, I liked how they were looking towards the end of last season. They're going to take another step forward. Who in the Atlantic Division is going to take a step backwards? That's the question. It's the best division in hockey, without question. And, you know, that's the sad part. It's not all those teams can make a playoff, but all of those teams are trying to be good right now.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, it's a conversation for another day, but I think the Boston Bruins are the team that's fallen back, and it's not because they don't have a talented roster. It's because so much of that roster is not going to be ready to play when the season begins. But
we've been saying that for years, Doug.
Yeah.
And they never do.
That's true. So we'll see how things play out, but that would be my guess. Last thing for you, Jameson, the Panthers schedule came out yesterday. Have you had a chance to dig into it? Was there anything that jumped out at you? There's always just an excitement when the schedule gets announced. And then after that, we'll let you get out of your stairwell.
I just look at times and things like that. Obviously, I believe the Panthers have 10 back-to-backs, so that's not too unusual. I mean, in the past, there were some years where they had 14 or 15, so 10 back-to-backs isn't a big deal. Starting with a couple games on the road, maybe that's good to build a little buzz for that first home game there against the Flyers. Maybe that'll be a good game. But for the Panthers overall, I'm looking at start times. I feel like there was a lot of Saturday games I saw that are now starting at 6 o'clock, which is a little unusual. Most Saturday games either were early or started at 7. So the 6 o'clock start time, I like that experiment there. Let's see how that works out for these guys.
6 o'clock, it lets you, you know, the restaurants won't be closed when the game ends. You can get out and get something to eat. Jameson Hall of FloridaPanthers.com here with us. You can find him on Twitter, at Jameson Coop. Jameson, get out of that stairwell and get back into the Bell Center excitement. We'll talk to you later.
Thanks, guys. Talk to you later.
Thank you very much. Jameson Hall of FloridaPanthers.com, released from the stairwell and back into the excitement there at Bell Center. But lots going on at Bell Center tonight, Randy Moeller.
Yeah, and Panther fans, your Cats are back at the home opener on the 19th of October against the Philadelphia Flyers. As Doug just mentioned, you can download the full schedule at FloridaPanthers.com /schedule to see your Cats back on the ice.
It's the Panthers draft coverage here. Of course, Panthers not set to pick in the first round, but that doesn't mean we don't have anything to talk about. Lots going on here. We'll reset the first few picks of the draft coming up next. We'll talk about the Panthers draft, what it looks like overall, some key notes from this draft, things to watch as we cruise along. Teams in the Atlantic Division have been busy on the trade front already. Coming up next hour, in about 20 minutes or so, we'll be joined by my friend and yours from Florida Hockey Now, George Richards will be stopping by, so that's coming up next hour. Lots more to get to here. It's our annual coverage of the NHL draft right here on 560 Sports WQAM.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events, major elections, world wars, scientific breakthroughs. But we also bring you into the smaller, behind-the-scenes stories. The unsung heroes, secret meetings, even personal grudges that changed the course of history. Listen to and follow History This Week, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with the History Channel. Available now for free on the Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.